The views and opinions expressed by any hosts or guests of WJMS Radio do not reflect the beliefs of its owners or associates. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to WJMS Radio or the show hosts whose words, advice, and or opinions appear from or on our website or on air.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Are we on the air?
You're listening to WJMSradio.com.
Jam.
This chick is a sick individual.
You're tuned in to Sound Off with your girl Jams right here on WJMSradio.com.
There is no competition.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Sound Off right here on WJMS Radio. This is your girl, Jams. I am so excited to be with you today. Sad that it's a pre-record, of course, but excited nonetheless because I have a really awesome guest for you. And shout out to like 6 degrees of separation. Sometimes you connect with people and they pass you on to other connections and magic happens. But we have a great show for you guys today. Before we get into that, I want to thank the folks behind the scenes that help make WJMS and Sound Off possible. Thank you guys for all your hard work, especially to my interns. You guys are wonderful and awesome, and I really appreciate you as well. Shout out to the folks that make me a part of your Saturday afternoon every week. Thank you guys so much for your dedication and your loyalty. And to the folks that just support and just share and, you know, appreciate what we do. You know, you guys mean a lot to us as well. So thank you guys everywhere, near and far, for all the support and the love that you guys give the radio station and my show in general. Before we get started, if you guys want to connect with us at any point in time, you can always reach out on social media. We are at WJMS Radio on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. We're also, of course, broadcasting on Get Vocal. So if you're not hip with this platform, please make sure you check it out. It's a really great, great platform to connect with people all around the world and host video chats as well. So I've been blessed to, you know, be a part of this network now, and it's really done wonders in terms of the operation of the radio station and in terms of connecting us with guests and people to engage with the audience and things like that. So it's been great. So if you haven't created an account and set yourself up yet, please check it out. Again, it's getvocal.com. And of course, we're going to be broadcasting on the radio station platform as well. So you can always check that out on WJMSradio.com or through Live 365. Add us as a favorite and you can tune in 24/7. We have some great content for you guys that happens weekly, daily, you know, and around the clock, as well as some really great artists, music playlists and artists that are local and unsigned. So make sure you check it out and keep it locked to the radio station. We got some good stuff for you guys. So let's get into the show for today. I'm really, really excited to bring this young woman to the air with me. This is Patricia Johnson Harris. She is a mover, shaker, innovator, entrepreneur, author, and visionary. She is a New York native. And years ago, she kind of sought out to have a better life, and she moved her son to Baltimore. Can't blame you there. New York is a little crazy sometimes. where she continues to thrive as a corporate accountant. She is a lover of the arts, including music and written word. And she is the founder of the African American Authors Expo, which is now known as the African American Authors and Empowerment Expo, which is entering its 8th season, which is super awesome. She's also got a strong innate desire to continually uplift and promote others. And she's founded the Youth Writers Challenge, which is one of the conversations we'll be having today, which is a nonprofit community-based organization that is dedicated to providing youth with positive support and encouragement to groom their minds in the art of creative writing. So, Patricia, thank you so much for being with us today. Welcome to the show, and how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having us, for having me, and, and just giving me the opportunity to be on your platform to talk a little bit about the Youth Writers Challenge and everything we're doing to support the inner city youth.
Definitely, definitely. So I gave the audience just a little bit of a background on you. You have a really long bio with a lot of amazing accomplishments in it. I didn't want to take all of your thunder, so why don't you take a minute here and just kind of give the audience a little bit more of a background on sort of where you came from and some of the other things that you're involved in.
Sure, absolutely. So as you mentioned in the bio, I'm originally from New York. I still have that New York accent. I don't think I'm going to be able to get rid of it too much here in Baltimore, but have been here for 24 years now. So I basically raised my children here in Baltimore, but often travel to New York because I still have family there. But why here, I was able to accomplish a lot of things that I set forth with, you know, in my goals in my life. And in doing that, working with a fantastic man who is now my husband, he introduced me into the music, you know, of jazz. And in doing jazz, I came across a lot of different women mostly who were trying to get the word out about books that they were writing and conferences that they were having. So my husband and I got together and decided to create a platform, particularly for local and independent authors, to kind of give them a platform where the community can come out and get to know who they are. You know, they don't always get their books picked up on Amazon or Barnes and Nobles, you know, but we have some talented authors right here in Maryland. And so we wanted to create a platform where the community can get to know these guys and know that they can pick up a book by a local author and still get the same effect from a national author. So we created the African American Authors and Empowerment Expo, just to provide some empowerment to our local independent authors. Back 8 years ago, it was almost impossible for an independent author to get a book deal. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them, you know, had to really self-publish their books. And even when they did that, a lot of the book sites like Amazon and Barnes and Nobles didn't really want to work with self-published authors. Now, I'm super excited that that has changed now, but back then they weren't really given a platform. So the Authors Expo provided that information that for them to give them that spot where they can say, hey, come read my book, come check me out. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. In 8 years, it's growing every year. During the expo, we provide informational workshops on how to write a book. You know, once you've written the book, how do you market it? You know, how do you get the word out? And then from there, what's next after you read, you know, have written the book? So we go into speaking. How do you get speaking engagements? How do you get speaking gigs? Different things like that. And doing the expo for 7 years, we noticed that a lot of children were coming with their parents and to just see their eyes so open wide when they stand in front of an author that has a book that looks exactly like them. Yep. You know, I only thought it was right to kind of give them that same opportunity. So we started in 2016, the Youth Writers Challenge. And what that platform is that we give youth ages 9 to 17 the opportunity to creatively express their thoughts and ideas on written paper. And so the Youth Writers Challenge has really been taking off, and I'm super excited about this program because we're giving youth the opportunity to become published authors. And this is something that no one can ever take from them.
Oh, yes, definitely. So you said a bunch of things that I've been taking notes while you were talking. You said a bunch of things I want to hit on here. So for the expos, just swinging back, and we'll swing back into youth writers in a second. But is the expo only for Baltimore, or is it like for around the world? Because I know a lot, I'd like a ton of authors that I could send your way, young African-American women doing their thing, who would probably love the opportunity to swing down to Baltimore and kick it at the expo and hang out and kind of get some of this information. So is that a Baltimore thing, or is it around the world?
No, it's just held here in Baltimore. We've partnered with Morgan State University, HBCU. So now we're hosting the expo at Morgan State University, but we have authors that come from all over the country to be a part of this event, you know, because it's not just really about selling books, but it's also about making a connection. Yeah. So we try and have a lot of featured speakers where they can connect to or connect with beyond the expo and take them to another level where they want to be. So it's definitely open to anyone who wants to be a part of it. And the event is free. It's open to the public. All the workshops that we provide are free. Wow. All the speaking panels that we have, everything is absolutely free.
That's awesome. Okay, cool. The other thing is that you mentioned too that I wanted to touch on is this idea of self-published, because it was, you're so right. Back in the day, self-publishing was not really a thing. And if it was, like, you didn't quite get the same kind of promotion that an artist or an author who went through a publisher would get. You know, nowadays, self-publishing is kind of like, you know, it's almost like online dating. It was like, back right. If you were like, oh, you did online dating, like, oh no, now it's right. Like, met somebody in person. Ew, like, what right. Do you mean? You know, it's sort of like, it's done a 180, and times have changed so much where, you know, now most authors opt to self-publish because they just don't want to go through the hurdles of dealing with a publisher. But it's interesting because you see so many different opinions on it. You know, like the people who self-publish are like, yes, let's do it. And then the people who have gone through a publisher are like, yeah, no, I needed a publisher. You know,
right.
Like, there's never like really a happy middle in between. It's always like, yes, let's do it. Or no, that's not for me.
And that's why when someone is thinking of writing a book, they really have to know themselves and they have to understand, can I market myself? Can I promote myself? Do I have what it takes to get my book out there? And some people just don't. And then that's when they can look to a publisher to say, I need you to help me to promote my book. So there's some who knows Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and has all those social media skill sets where they can actually do that. But there's some of us like me who don't really be on social media all the time or don't know all the proper or the best websites may say, I think I'll go with the publisher because I know I'll have that support from them in terms of marketing and promoting my book. So the individual who's writing has to understand where they stand, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And nowadays, like they've changed all these crazy social media algorithms. So it's like, you think you're going to be posting something and it's going to hit all your followers and it doesn't.
Right.
And you're like, what? Like, why?
Right.
You know, so it's hard. It definitely, a publisher can, you know, help in the ways of support in a lot of those realms for those folks that are a little overwhelmed by the idea of social media and promoting through social media channels for sure.
And there's different types of publishers. There are self-published publishers, meaning they'll do the book for you. They'll get it on the Amazon sites, the Barnes and Noble sites. They'll do those specific details and then say, this is still your baby. You still have 100% the rights to it. So there's different types of publishing that can still take place.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know that. That's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
So I want to talk before, because we're going to spend the vast majority of this hour talking about the Youth Writers Challenge and the things you have going on with that. But I do want to give you an opportunity to talk about your vendors network and, you know, what you're doing with, you know, putting sort of like-minded people together. So can you talk a little bit about how you're helping folks grow their business and sort of create that network?
Sure. The vendors network just like the Authors Expo, again, giving vendors, entrepreneurs, you know, a platform to sell their products. So what I do is I connect with different event promoters, you know, around Maryland, D.C. and Virginia. And what they'll do is they'll reach out to me and say, hey, I have this event coming up. I need 10 vendors. And what I do is I've grown the Vendors Network database with a lot of vendors, all types of vendors. And then we'll just kind of constantly shoot them communications. Hey, this event is coming up. This is what it's going to cost you. This is where it's at, different things like that. So that a vendor know that if they're a part of the Vendors Network, they're always going to get current, up-to-date information about what events are taking place around the time so that they have a little help in finding places to showcase their products.
That's good. Definitely good. So how does somebody get involved or get connected to you to be in this Vendors Network? Is there a vetting process that you have? Like I'm sure you don't just take any old body, you know, like there's got to be a vetting process for this network. So what are some of your requirements to be included in the umbrella, if you will?
Well, they have to fill out a registration form to be a part of the Vendors Network. There's a small registration fee, and then they have to answer a few questions, just kind of listing what their products are. If they're associated with anyone else, is do they have a business partner, how long they've been doing business as the company that they are, and general questions like what type of events are you used to being a part of, what type of events do you like, what's your target market for your product. Sometimes vendors will just sign up for any events. So I'm trying to help them understand that not every event, it's for your product.
Yep.
So you have to be specific in which events you take and not lose money just by signing up for any event that really is not the target market for your particular product.
Yep.
So not only do they get emails about different events that's taking place, but then they also get, here's some tips, guys, you know, those type of emails as well. So anyone that's interested in getting the registration form and more information about that can always just email me at thevendorsnetwork@gmail.com.
Okay, I'm writing that down just in case anybody misses it, and I'll be able to distribute that out to folks that are interested in reaching out to you for your services.
Sure. And it's not just events in Maryland, but there are events, like I said, mostly D.C., Maryland, Virginia, Jersey, New York. Okay. Pretty much. Yeah.
That's good. Okay, cool. So I think I may know a few people that I'll, you know, send them off your information and let them know that this is something they may want to be a part of, just so they can start getting those email blasts and things like that. Because I know a lot of vendors that are always looking for ways to get their brand out there, and they could probably use the tips and so on and so forth. So that's good. So I think, I mean, in terms of, you know, the kind of events that you guys are promoting, is it like any vendor can email you and ask for event, or any person can email you? Like, how do people get in touch with you? Like, what kind of events do you typically, you know, receive emails for that vendors can be, you know, part of?
All types of events. It's actually a cross platform, because not only am I, you know, trying to find events for the vendors, but I'm also giving those promoters the opportunity to promote their event as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cross promoting with the vendors as well as the event promoters. Okay. And it's all types of events. It's anywhere from jazz events to conferences, you know, to community yard sales. You know, some vendors' products work in those type of events. Mm-hmm. So it's really any event. And again, with the events, before I even send it out to the vendors, I do some research on that particular event, because I know there's some people who will post an event, they will take these vendors' money, and then the event never happens.
Yeah.
You know, so to protect the people in my database, the ones that I'm working for, you know, I vet the event itself. How long have you been doing this? You know, where is it taking place? I call the venue. Is this event really on your calendar to take place here, before I actually send it out through the network, to make sure that they're getting viable information? So it's all type of events that actually come through to you know, request vendors.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, because I've known so many folks that got taken advantage of, you know, like by a vending opportunity, quote unquote. And then it's like, you know, you pay them $100 for your table or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, the event's not going to happen, but you never get your money back. Or like, it just, you know, isn't a confirmed event. So you just sent your money off to some random person hoping that you were going to get a table somewhere, you know, and it's just not there. Also, on the flip side of things is, you send your money to the person who promised you the sun, the moon, and the stars at this event, and you get to the event and it's like, you know, in somebody's basement, and you take mm-hmm. bust it. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just
exactly expectations
that they sent you on the flyer and stuff. So, yeah,
exactly.
The vetting process for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes me feel more comfortable that I'm not putting them in an unsafe environment, you know, or giving them details about an event that's just not, you know, safe. So we tend to just, and I'm so used to a lot of the events that come through that I can say, yeah, this is a good one. No, this is a bad one. I don't think I'm gonna be able to help you with this one. So I do make those calls whether or not something goes out through the vendors network, because that's my reputation as well. You know, that's on the line. So we try and make sure all that stuff is on the up and up.
Okay. Is there ever any crossover between, you know, the African-American Authors and Empowerment Expo and like the Vendors Network? Like, is there ever obviously like a book fair or something like that, or some kind of, you know, book event where the two kind of meet?
Absolutely. I do. Haven't done it in a couple of years, but I do a vendors expo where it's just, and I usually try and do it somewhere around the holidays, you know. And we have some authors participate in that. And then when we do the Authors and Empowerment Expo, we usually have vendors participate in that. So it's definitely a cross between the two of them when it comes to vendors and authors. Awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, is there anything else about either the African American Authors and Empowerment Expo or the Vendors Network that you want to share with the audience before we transition over to the Youth Writers Challenge?
We have Facebook pages for both. The Vendors Network as well as the African American Authors and Empowerment Expo both have Facebook groups. If you want information more about that, we're constantly posting, as well as other authors are posting information in there as well. So it's also a good place to network with like-minded people in both of those groups. So they can always send a request to join the Vendors Network group on Facebook as well as the Authors Expo group on Facebook. And then they'll find information about any upcoming events that we have on both ends of it, you know, the expo and the Vendors Network.
Great. And obviously at the end of the show, I'm going to give you an opportunity to shout all of that contact information out again, just in case anybody missed it. But I do want to transition over to the Youth Writers Challenge, which is what we're originally going to talk about. I want to make sure I give enough time to that beautiful organization to talk about what you're doing. I'm so excited to hear about youth reading. There was this thing I saw somebody, what was it? I guess it was like a family. I don't know. They looked like they could have been a family, whatever. But they were all just sitting on the subway. It was like 4 to 5 of them. It was a picture I saw on social media, like 4 or 5 people, like mother, father, and like 3 kids. And they all had books, not iPads, not e-readers, literal books. And they were all just reading on the subway. And I was like, I love that. Like it looked, it just looked so amazing to me. I was like, that's a beautiful sight.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we try and promote, that when we talk about the Youth Writers Challenge or Youth Writers Rock, we don't want the parents or the kids to get nervous and think, oh man, I got school and I got to write. Now I got to go to this program. I got to write. But we kind of make it fun. And the goal is to get them back into the basics of reading and writing, but having fun while doing it, you know? So the Youth Writers Challenge itself is a program that, again, gives youth the platform to creatively express themselves, right? I'm sure you've heard of it, but a couple of years ago, we had an uprising here in Baltimore. We had a riot here. And it started at a high school.
Yep.
And what you saw in the news pretty much was, you know, kids tearing up stuff, banging stuff. You know, you saw them angry. You saw them upset. And so what I had to do at that point was do a Youth Writers Challenge event called Youth Verses and Flow. Mm-hmm. And what that was is we gave them the opportunity to express themselves through poetry, through short stories, through music, through dance, through rapping, to get out whatever it is they were feeling, not in an aggressive, angry way, but creatively. And so we did it right at the spot where this uprising was kind of taking place, and to kind of see these kids really get on the stage and really express themselves. You know, the community just came together and was like, that's awesome. And I'm like, these are who our kids really are, not what you saw on TV, but this is who they are. So I think when we give them a platform to be themselves, to express themselves, we'll see the whole creative side of them. So that's what the Youth Writers Challenge is trying to do. We're trying to give them a platform to express themselves. So we do these events at malls. We go to different communities. We go to different events. And we just kind of let them do their thing. You know, we let them do poetry. We let them do dance. We let them just express themselves creatively. And it's been a really, really great help based on the feedback we received from the parents, based on the feedback we've received from the teachers. You know, their teachers, that expressing themselves opens them up to be a little more confident in who they are and what it is that they want to do. So the Youth Writers Challenge falls under Youth Verses and Flow, and that's an annual event where we go and just have this competition. All the children are presented with backpacks, their school supplies. We usually do it in the middle of the school year, and then at the end of the school year, they usually get gift certificates, Barnes & Noble's gift cards, Amazon gift cards, different things like that when they participate in a Youth Verses and Flow. And then from that, we created Youth Writers Rock. And Youth Writers Rock is a 6-month writing program. It's every Saturday for 6 months. We take this youth through 7 pillars of how to write a book. Now, they get to decide what their book is about, you know, of course, with our input, you know, whether we think it's a great subject for this particular age group. But they get to create the book. They get to create the characters. They can decide what the character looks like, sounds like. They have 100% input on that book that they're writing. And at the end of the 6-month program, we publish the book. So right now, through the Youth Writers Rock program, which technically started in 2017, we've had 15 authors between the ages of 9 and 16.
That's, wow. That's amazing.
That is really cool. Yeah. very cool.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm a published author. Like, what have you done today? Oh, I played video games. Like, what? That's crazy.
It's amazing because our first group that graduated, and we usually have 3 groups of kids in the program at a given time. So we'll have an elementary group, a middle school group, in a high school group, and they write books for those age groups. And once they had completed their book, we took them on a book tour, and one of them was at a high school where one of the kids was at. So the school told all the kids to come out, you know, one of their classmates is now an author. And the teacher came up to me and she said, he inspired me. I had been saying for years, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book. And when he came to me and he showed me his book, she was like, how could I not finish this book? You know, so even at an early age, they're inspiring adults, you know, to finish their dreams and do what they what it was they started and write a book. So it's definitely gained a lot of them more responsibility. They learn a little more about teamwork because they're working with the other youth when they're writing their book. Mm-hmm. Again, they gain more confident in what it is they're saying or what it is that they're doing. They more participation in class. We've gotten some emails and some letters from teachers saying, this is a whole new person since they've been in your program, you know. But I think it just kind of allows them to open up and be themselves, you know, and not feel that they're threatened by anyone else, you know, in the classroom. So it's been working very, very well. Again, 2017, we're on our next session of Youth Writers Rock. Our last class ended in June. Their book will be published at the end of this month. And so we're super excited about that. It's about hip hop from a youth perspective. Ooh. How does hip hop affect them as a youth? So that book is coming out at the end of October. And so I'm super excited about that one.
So if any of those kids want to have an interview on a radio station and add that to their resume, you send them my way. I'll be happy.
Oh, absolutely.
And all of the work that it took for them to put their book together and definitely shine the spotlight on them for sure. Just send them my way.
I would love to do that. And believe me, now they've been speaking engagement, speaking panels, so they're up for it. So I would love the opportunity to have them be on your show.
Cool. We could do a collective thing because you see on this platform here, I can have up to three guests with me. So you could do like a group of three students, you know, and we could have a panel discussion on what it's like to be a young author or something like that. I would love to do that. That would be
please great. Let's do that. They would love to do that. Absolutely.
Right,
so
I'm right.
Let's make that happen. But anyone who's looking to be a part of this program in because we're in Baltimore, definitely please reach out to us. We're always looking for volunteer instructors to help with the program, teachers, editors, writers to come and help support these youth. They can't write these books by themselves. So we have a great team right now, but we're always looking for some additional support, you know, to help instruct these kids on how to go through this process of writing. Because sometimes it can get a little tricky with editing and rewriting and going back. And, you know, they get a little like, again, you know, we just have to keep pumping them up. But definitely always looking for some support in terms of instructors to help with this program. And even if someone doesn't really have a writing background, they can still support the program and help us with the marketing, with the promotion and different things like that. So Youth Writers Rock and Youth Writers Challenge is always looking for support from our community. And if there's any youth that want to be a part of the program, you know, they can always reach out, have the parents reach out to us as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I have so many questions. Let me just start at the beginning of my questions I've written at this point. So the one thing I want to mention is this, like, I know you've seen, I think it's a thing. I know for sure it's a thing in Philly. I know it's happening up here in New York. I think it's happening across the country, to be honest with you. But they, you know, they're cutting budgets, you know, and they're mm-hmm. removing all of the sort of extracurricular activities, the arts programs, you know, some are removing gym classes and stuff like that from these schools because they just can't afford to fund it anymore, quote unquote. And I wanted to kind of get your take on that, because it's like, you know, when you remove these creative outlets from the schools, what you're doing is you're essentially taking away the children's ability to express themselves in healthy ways. You know, so
absolutely.
To be honest, them pulling these resources from the schools kind of boosts your organization up a little bit because you step in to fill that void that the school has created in these children. And I think it's wonderful. But because I'm not from Baltimore and I'm not familiar with the school system down there. Is that a thing down there? Have they pulled some of these arts programs from these schools?
Absolutely. They've pulled a lot of them due to budgeting, you know, if you will. We recently just got some really great news that the one community center is now open 7 days a week. So, you know, right. So that gives youth some place to go on Saturdays, you know, and on Sundays. But you're absolutely right. The Youth Writers Rock program is an alternative to say they no longer have this after school program or these POW centers like they used to have here in Baltimore have been shut down, you know, whether it was the school system or was it the budgeting from the state. The Youth Writers Rock program embraces the fact that we can offer this opportunity to other students. And it's not all just writing. We do field trips with the kids. We have speakers that come in and talk with the kids. We try and do a lot of fun activities all around the writing piece of it. But the program itself is free to the youth. It doesn't cost them anything to be a part of it, which we try and encourage parents to at least come and sit in the class, see what we're doing here, see if that's something your youth would be interested in. But we're not a babysitter, you know. So we also have to make that point to some of the parents, because it might just not be something that the youth is interested in, but the parent might feel like, you know, I want them to do this. So we have to be cautious about, you know, do the student really want to do this project, you know? And if not, we'll try and find something else that's more engaging to them at another location or at a different organization that they might be a little more interested in, because we want them to want to be there, basically, and don't want them to be there because the parents need someplace for them to be.
I was going to say, have there been students that you've had to like have removed from the program for just lack of commitment or lack of dedication? But it sounds like, yeah, but it also sounds like you guys are placing them in other, you know, organizations or, you know, I guess programs that might be a little bit more beneficial for them in terms of where their mindset is. So that's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like we've connected with a lot of different, there's an organization that teaches youth how to film, you know, learn the camera, you know, photos. This one gentleman, his mom put him in a program. He really wasn't ready for it. So, but he liked beats, you know, he liked making music. So I connected him with one of the radio show hosts, local radio shows here, who teaches kids about music, you know. So if it's something that they have more of an interest in, we definitely try and place them with another organization that'll help them spark that interest a little further.
That's good. I like that. So you talked about, you know, the graduating classes and stuff going through the Youth Writers Challenge and all that. I wanted to know, because, you know, you graduate, you said 15 authors at this point. Have there been any programs or any, I guess, events where you've brought or brung the old graduates back to talk to the newer kids and kind of let them know, like, this is where I am now because of this program? Like, has there been sort of a fellowship with the older class to the newer class? Or does that, once they leave the program, is it kind of like, come back if you can, but like you don't really necessarily keep in touch per se?
No, we always try to keep in touch with the older students, the ones that have graduated out. Yeah. The ones that are currently in and the ones to come. So there's always some type of event where I'm inviting all of them. And it's usually a book event because they all have books. So yeah, they get to meet each other. And when we do the graduations, the first group comes back and talks about their experience through the program and how it's been since they've graduated the program and how things have changed for them. So they do come back during our graduation ceremony, but then I find book events where I can have all of them there, you know, most of them or someone from each group will be there and come together. So they all know each other because of that.
That's good. Have there been people that are, have any of these students published more books since they've left the program? Like, have you heard of any students like, I wrote another one, you know, or like just they got that bug and they haven't stopped ever since?
I know that there's two that are writing their next book since the program. But some of them have gone on to do, two of the girls that was in a program, one was in the middle school group, one was in the high school. Now they have their sisters, and now they have a cupcake business called Sister Sweets. So what they do is they sell their cupcakes and you can get a book, you know, so they learning how to cross market, okay, selling the book and selling their cupcakes, you know, so they're doing really, really great at that. So they're all being more open with different experiences since they've come through the program. Yeah, that's good.
So I want to dive into this program a little bit and talk about how it functions and how it works. So, you know, some of these kids are coming in, they're brand new, you know, they think they like writing, they're kind of, you know, toying with the idea of doing writing, you know, but maybe they have writer's block. You know, what are some of the things that you do to help these kids through these things that to them may seem like obstacles that they can't get past? Like, I just can't do it. I can't think of anything. I can't figure this out. You know, what support do you guys give them to get them over that writer's block?
Usually the first 2 weeks of the program, we don't even write. We just kind of talk to them. We just have an open conversation. And what is it that you like to do? What is it that you like to do? And if we're noticing that some of them within the same age group like to do the same thing, then we're kind of like, so if you guys was to write a book, what would it be about? And I think once you start engaging them from the beginning and letting them know that they have a choice in this, you know, they have a say in what's going to be written, what's interesting to them, they open up a little more, you know. And even when we go through the writing process, if we notice that one of the kids are not contributing as much as the other, or they're not getting as far as the other, then we take them to the side and we do a one-on-one with that particular student until we feel they're good enough. And then they come back together as a group. And actually, in our very first group, one of the other students said, I'll do it. Let me talk with them, because they felt like they connected. You know, they were writing a book about bullying and both of them had been bullied before, you know. So him talking to his peer, I think, helped him open up a little more about what it was he was going to write about in his chapter of this book. So we do try and fill them out in the first couple of weeks of the program to kind of get a feel for, you know, who's participating, who's answering the questions, who's giving suggestions, who's sitting in the back and is a little quieter than the others. And in this way, we kind of know how we need to operate with that particular group.
Yeah. So in terms of getting these kids to the program, how do you recruit them? Like, is there a process? Do you have like a partner school that you work with or anything like that? Or, you know, what is it? Is it word of mouth strictly? How are you recruiting all these different ages to come through this program?
You know, it has been almost word of mouth from the beginning. So we host the program in the library. So the library does the first step with putting it out there in the library, posting it on the library's website. So, you know, those emails go to a ton of people here at the ENET Pratt Library. And then we have organizations, a lot of youth groups, organizations that we get that communication out through, as well as the Black Writers Guild of Maryland. They do a youth organization as well. So we send it out through them. The schools, we're working on that process. We really haven't gotten to that point yet where the school system is selecting people and sending them to us yet. But even just with the library, we get to a point where we have to cut the registration off and then we do a screening of the students, you know. So we're hoping to be able to grow past the size that we are now. But finding the kids is overwhelming. There's a lot of students that want to be a part of the Youth Writers Rock program. Yeah. So it's definitely our goal to find a bigger space so we can host more of them.
How many do you currently, like, what's your recruitment total? Like, how many do you want for each? I know you said there's like 9 to 14, 17. So what's the, are there like certain amounts of each or like just a total group of kids?
Yeah, 12. 12 is the most, because when we have that many, like I said, we break them up into elementary school, middle and high, and we think 4 to a group is workable for the instructors.
Yeah.
So right now, and actually the space we have will only fit that number of people. So I think when we can move to a bigger space and we can extend that up a little, you know, probably 20 kids to a session. But right now we're about 12 kids to a session to even it up to 4 students for 2 instructors.
Okay. And so you have three sets of kids, you know, 4 kids in each group. Obviously, the younger kids are going to get a lot more handholding than the older group.
Mm-hmm.
But is there, like, how does the process work? Is it like, okay, write your introduction chapter, like write your first 2 chapters and then come back next week? Or, you know, is it you guys meet twice a week and one of the, you know, like how does that structure work for putting this book together for these kids? Is it a walkthrough process or are they kind of create at your own pace, but make sure it's done by this certain date?
It's a little bit of both. What we do is once we've determined what the book is going to be about, they'll give each student, so they write in the program, but then they'll give them assignments to do when they leave the program. Since we only meet on Saturdays, they'll be given an assignment to have ready when they come back the following Saturday. And it's usually research. We don't ask them to do a whole lot of writing outside of the program. Research, you know, what is it that you like about this red balloon, you know? What could the red balloon do if it had a special power, you know? So we'll just ask them to jot little things like that down when they're not in session and then bring that information back with them while they're in session. So like you said, with the elementary school group, instead of that being 2 instructors, that might be 3, just because they might need a little more hand-holding, you know, walking them through that process. So pretty much once we decide, hey, the book is going to be about this red balloon that has special powers, and we ask them, what kind of special powers would you want your balloon to have? And then they'll say, I can run fast. Well, where would you run to? You know, so we kind of get them to explain, you know, to give us a little more detail about what the special power would be and what would you do with it and what do you think people might say about it. So we kind of walk them through their story that way. So we have someone writing it while they're telling us about it.
Okay.
The elementary school group, the middle school group and the high school group are actually writing their stories on laptops while we're walking through it.
So, yeah, so there's like, I can see now they're all there kind of working on it diligently together, working on their own book. Okay. All right. I like that. Because I wasn't sure. I'm like, okay, how does this work? Are you guys writing chapters as homework and bringing them back in, or, you know?
Yeah. So, because no, everything is written in the classroom. Yeah. But research is done outside of the classroom. And it makes perfect. It's great for us to be in the library because their research is right there at their hands.
And do the parents get to check in at all on the students or like come in? Do they get to present or anything like that? Like, are the parents involved? You said it's not babysitting, of course, but it is more like almost like an after school, even though it's on Saturdays. But do the parents come in at all and get involved in the stuff that they're doing? Or is it kind of like an end of the year, look what I did type situation?
The parents come in and a lot of them actually stay in the library. They usually have some siblings with them, so they'll let the siblings, you know, grab some books or do some things, be on the computer while they're actually in the library. So it always seems like when the parents do drop them off at the program, they actually stay within the vicinity of the library and wait for them. So at time to time, they'll come check in, how's everything going? But the students have just come to this thing of, I'm not going to tell them, you know, I don't want them to know until I want it to be a surprise. Even to this day, I'd be like, do your mother know what your book is about? And she's like, no, she's going to find out, you know, at the graduation ceremony. So a lot of them like that because we gave them that option. If you want to talk to them about what we're doing, you can. But if you want to surprise them, you can. And so I just give the parents updates. They're doing really well. Their chapter's almost complete, or they need to do this, but not giving away, you know, the details of the book because they want to keep it a little secret.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's pretty exciting because they'll be finding out information about the book at the same time the youth see their book for the first time.
Yeah. That's kind of, as a parent, that's got to be really exciting. Like, oh my gosh, my kid just wrote a book.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, I heard you mention earlier in the show that you guys are partnered with a few other organizations that kind of offer different things. Like you said, the radio station and like the music and stuff like that. So are those partnerships with the other organizations, do those come into play at any other time during the program? Like, do you have any kind of, you know, get togethers where the programs sort of work together with each other and sort of get sort of inspiration or, I don't know, vibes, if you will, from each other?
They do. They do. So like when we do the graduation ceremony, we'll call on that youth film company to come film it. Okay. So they'll meet each other when it's things, when we interact in that form or another. We've had the founder of that organization come speak with the kids at the program. When we have our speakers come in, we've had some of the radio hosts come to the program and talk to the kids. But it's usually when there's an event and we call them and say, okay, we need a youth DJ, you know, then they will bring that youth DJ, or we need this to be filmed. We're going to go to this youth organization that helps kids learn about filming, you know, and movies and different things like that. So we kind of bringing it all in with youth, bringing it all back to the youth doing what they love to do best.
That's good. I like that a lot because I was like, there's got to be like a jam session or something like
right.
that.
Right. If you want to call it that, yeah, that's kind of exactly what it is. But it's great to just see that there are all these other different types of organizations that are also supporting youth in what they love to do and what they have a skill set or what they think they want to be doing anyway. And that's really the goal, is to try and give them these different opportunities or these different experiences, so they'll have an idea of what it is that they want to do when they get to high school.
Gotcha. I know you are from New York, but you moved down to Baltimore, and this organization was created largely in Baltimore and operates here or there. But do you have any plans to expand the program further past Baltimore into like maybe back into New York, into you know, your home area or, you know, any other locations that might be suffering from a youth writer, you know, shortage, if you will?
I'm actually, that would be awesome, you know, and what I am trying to do is do the same program, but not where the kids meet every Saturday in person, but where we meet in virtually every Saturday. So they're submitting their writings to us every week. This way it is open to youth in other states. So it's almost, so we did a call to submission to see if anyone from any other states would be available, you know, would want to be a part of the Youth Writers Rock. And we got a pretty good response, you know, to kids that are willing, that are different places, that wants to be a part of this. Even though they're not here, we'll just do these virtual sessions with them and still help them become published authors as well. So, no, we don't have, I haven't thought about having a base somewhere, which is probably not a good idea, just going up there and having someone in New York kind of run the program and different things like that and finding that location. So that's a great idea. Thank you for that.
Definitely. Because I mean, not only does it obviously help more students and stuff like that, but it creates more opportunities for your students to travel and to network with other kids. You know, you can have a Baltimore, New York explosion, you know, a Youth Writers Rock explosion where all of the different branches come together and present what they've done, you know,
yeah.
And not, they could just kind of take pride in the fact that, you know, they're part of an organization that has branches all over the country. And you guys come together, you know, every year as just like a symposium almost and just
right.
Show everybody what you've done, you know, or even creating a book author, a book fair for just these kids and their publishers,
right.
You know,
that sounds awesome. Speaking into existence, because that sounds like that can work. I think I have a pretty good connection up in New York. You know, like I said, I'm still up there pretty much a lot. So that might be doable. Even in D.C. or Virginia, those areas as well, you know, doing what I do with the Vendors Network and with the Authors Expo, have come across some really great people in those particular areas that might be able to help me with some footwork in terms of trying to get that set up. So I think that's a really great idea.
Well, you got me up here in New York as well. So I'm now a resource for you to use also. So
wonderful.
So we're getting ready to wrap up the show here. Is there anything else that we didn't get a chance to talk about the Youth Writers Challenge or any of the other things that you're involved in that you want to take a moment and share with the audience?
Again, if you know of any student that is interested in writing creatively, expressing themselves, you know, through writing poetry, short stories, please reach out to us at the Youth Writers Challenge or at the Youth Writers Rock program. We'd love for them to be a part of this program. It's a wonderful experience, not just for the youth, but also for us instructors. It has been a great experience for us to just be able to give back to them and to see them grow. So I guarantee anyone who's thinking about being a part of this as an instructor or as a support, you'll be pleasantly surprised how well this is going to impact you supporting these youth, and you'll get to see how it's impacting them as well. So again, I just pretty much want to say, you know, not that we're unique, not that we're different from a lot of other programs that are helping youth write, but we are consistently trying to give these youth the opportunity to say, not only is my name Aaron, but my name is Aaron and I'm a published author, you know, and that's something that no one will be able to ever take from them, you know, that they'll always have published author tag to their name. And if someone ever Googled them, the first thing that's going to come up is their book, you know. So we're excited about giving them that opportunity, you know, that they can have with them, you know, throughout the rest of their lives. So, again, just want everybody to know the Youth Writer is open, you know, for instructors, open for support staff, open for the youth. We're welcome. Open arms.
Awesome. Actually, you know, I meant to ask you what it takes to do or to be an instructor. You know, is there a... What's your policies? What's your requirements? You know, do you need to have a writing background or anything like that? You know, obviously you got to probably pass a background check maybe.
What are
the requirements to do that?
To be an instructor with one of the writing groups, we're looking for either teachers, retired teachers, authors who know the process, editors, even if they're journalists, you know, they write for magazines, new papers, that just understands the whole writing process. Is what we're looking for instructors, someone that may not have that writing background that still wants to be a part of it. We always need help with our social media. We help getting our sponsors, help with just the basic details of the program and how it's operating and how to keep it operating the way we've been doing so. And then we also have space for interns, you know, who might want to come out from high school, do an internship with us, and actually work with these kids that are on the same grade level as they are. You know, I think when they can connect with someone their own age, they open up a little more. So we always have opportunity for interns to be a part of the program as well. But for the instructors, we do background checks. You know, we do some references checks. They have to sign a disclosure agreement. Of course, we're working with youth. We want to make sure they're protected. No one's trying to, you know, do anything with their information or anything like that. So there's some disclosure agreements that they have to sign as well as the background check.
Okay, great. All right. Well, I think that wraps up our show for today. Patricia, thank you so much for being with me today. Thank you for all.
No, thank you.
This has been wonderful. I'm looking forward to reaching out to some of my networks and my colleagues to pass on your information. I have some people that I think would be really beneficial in terms of just a partnership between, you know, the vendors network and authors and things like that. So definitely be passing your information on. So thank you for being with me today.
I really appreciate that. I appreciate the support, and I'm excited for what's about to happen. And I want to keep you in the loop and definitely keep you up on that interview with our youth, because you'll be amazed.
Oh, yes. Let's do that. I'm serious. Like, as long as this doesn't have to be a one time thing, you know, as long as I got a mic, you have a mic. That's one of my favorite, you know, one of the phrases I started off my radio career saying. But it never has to be a one off. In fact, I have a guest coming up next after you who was with me in 2015, I think, when the station first began. And she's checking back in 4 years later. To go over her new book and all that kind of stuff. So I love it when people come back. I love it when we can do spinoffs and things like that. So yes, awesome. If you have, you know, students, 2-3 students or, you know, whatever, or even just us and 2 students and we just have a conversation, I'm all for it. So I will put that ball in your court to pull together the students that you're interested in bringing, and we'll set it up and kind of go from there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Yes, for sure. Definitely. Well, thank you guys so much for being with us today. To all the folks watching on Facebook and on YouTube as well, I appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. This show, again, of course, is going to air Saturday at 12 p.m. So make sure you share with all your friends throughout the week. The actual audio will go on WJMSradio.com, so you can check that out as well. And it'll go up in our archive once everything is all said and done. Thank you to the folks behind the scenes that make WJMS and Sound Off possible, to all the folks that listen and tune in regularly, to awesome guests like Patricia who give me time on their busy Tuesday afternoon to talk about the things that they're doing. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart, you guys. Thanks. I'll be back again with a brand new episode next week, so make sure you check it out. Until then, everybody be safe. And oh, shameless self-promotion, this coming Sunday is the lung cancer walk. So I'm still about $500 short of my goal for the walk. So if anybody is interested in donating, please feel free. I will drop the link in the chat, in the comments, what have you. All of the money that you guys donate goes to fund medication for folks like myself and for anybody else who is affected by lung cancer. So please make sure you check it out, share. I am trying so hard to get to this goal before Sunday. So I will again drop this link in the comments. If anybody can donate, every little bit helps. I appreciate it. Again, I'll be back again next week with a brand new episode. Thank you guys so much. Until then, everybody be safe, and I'll see you next time.
H-Money! Run it down, let's run a play now. You know how to kill a vibe. We in and out on a regular. And are you really what you say you are? Right or wrong, I stick with you. You didn't get that shit on your own. No, I always keep it real with you. You switching on and off like a clown. Paranoid, not gonna play me. Tried to hide your Mercedes. You ain't saying nothing, baby. Won't accept another maybe. FaceTime, you better face me. Got me out here looking crazy. Ain't no time for talking crazy. What you saying to me, You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things, you say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things, you say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things, you say a lot of things, yeah.
You say a lot of things, you say a lot of things, yeah.
I say a lot more than I really like to. Despite being at odds, I ain't trying to spite you. I was in shock, had to write you. Short lived like a haiku. Top five, maybe top two. And we all know I am not too. Running off at a mile. Well, what the hell you talking about? You say a lot of things. You like to find the things. I buy you a diamond ring, then I take it back. Cause maybe I'm in a rush and it's just a timing thing, yeah.
You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things. You say a lot of things, yeah. You say a lot of things. Stay alone. You wanna stay in love. You wanna stay and I wanna be alone. So lonely. Cause you wanna be with me. Say you wanna be with me for real. Say you just wanna be with me for real. Oh yeah. You say a lot of things.
Thanks for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.